This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
If you're a digital video editor, you need Edius. Edius is all about giving editors the creative freedom to create any application environment. Download a 30-day trial today at Edius.net.
Taste Trenton, 2019. Here's how it works. You purchase your wristband at TasteTrenton.com. You invite your friends to get their own wristband and join you. Pick up your wristband and your passport guide on the day of the event at Artworks. You choose the restaurant you want to visit, show your wristband, and enjoy the specialties at reduced prices. Continue on your excursion all weekend long, all 3 days. Update your photos and paste your comments on the Taste Trenton Facebook page, and then you return home satisfied that you know new places that you can go for lunch and dinner all year. Taste Trenton, Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th, this year, 2019. See you there.
This is Leanne, 2019 Trenton Pork Roll Festival Queen, and you're listening to the Trenton Waves podcast.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Yeah, we're here again, Trenton Waves. That's right, it's Christina and Frank Sasso. Say hello.
Hello.
So this is the first for us, what's happening today.
What?
We have with us a listener turned guest. That's like a new thing now.
Well, actually, we wanted him to be a guest, but
right.
He flatly refused.
He totally did. I'm just kidding. 2 weeks later at Cooper's, I'm like, hey, dude, did you listen to the show?
Now he's a listener.
Yeah, and he's like, no,
why
I didn't
am I
listen.
Getting myself into it?
And he felt horrible, and then he finally listened to the gym, and then he was hooked. Because this show, it is what it is.
It's fun.
Podcast, fun.
It's fun.
All right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, podcastia, we're here with the one, the only, as far as I know, Edwin Torres. Edwin, welcome to the show.
What's up, Frank?
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome.
Thanks for coming and being on the show. We appreciate it.
I remember when I first spoke to you on the phone, I felt like I was talking to a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because your voice was so recognizable. I was like, oh, who is...
My voice is recognizable. You know, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Radio voice, like, man, you got it. Yeah. I love it.
And like, I'm talking to you, and you're like, oh, a long time listener, first time caller. I'm like, dude, we're just having a conversation. Relax. Wow. So what's your deal? We met at the Roebling Gallery.
Yes.
Yes.
You are the curator of that, correct?
Yep. I'm the curator at the Roebling Gallery. I guess, I moved there a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, and I spent some time in Trenton kind of just getting to know the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and... I was there for a year. I saw my friend John Gordon. A lot of people know him as the commissioner. He used to work with the Isles. He recently moved out, but he started curating the gallery originally.
Oh, okay.
And we became friends. And I thought he was actually a real commissioner when I found him on Facebook, because his name on Facebook is Commissioner John Gordon. And so I reached out to him, and we just turned buddies, and he started to show me all around Trenton, mm-hmm. kind of the go-to spots to go get food,
mm-hmm.
started to introduce me to the arts community. And that's kind of how I felt I have a lot of experience working with nonprofits in the art world back in mm-hmm. the Bronx, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're a New Yorker.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker.
Oh, like us.
New Yorker, turned to Trenton, looking to stay in Trenton, buying a house in Trenton. Love Trenton.
Well, my first question is usually, what was it that brought you to Trenton?
So I'm a photographer. It was a job. So mm-hmm. I was living and working in the Bronx, born and raised there in Hunts Point, Puerto Rican family. Went to college in Maine. When I graduated, I worked in photojournalism for a long time. So mm-hmm. I was shooting news for the New York Times and Vice and ProPublica. And I was just a freelancer.
Okay.
Just hustling a couple of gigs.
Mm-hmm.
This one story I worked on won a prize, and then I ended up getting a job at the New York City mayor's office as a photographer.
Wow. Okay. Which mayor was that?
Yeah, who was mayor at that
De Blasio.
Oh, De Blasio.
Okay. De Blasio. Okay. And now, I wasn't really crazy into politics. I always mm-hmm. considered myself an activist, mm-hmm. you know. Because for me, the reason I was into photojournalism and documentary photography is because I saw it as a tool for social change. Mm-hmm. You tell stories about neighborhoods to emotionally affect people, to get them inspired, mm-hmm. to feel and empathize and change things.
Okay.
So it was also like an incredible job opportunity because I was a photographer. There aren't that many full-time photography jobs. And I also really admired President Obama's photographer, Pete Souza. Mm-hmm. I owned one of his books, and he just showed a different side to this presidential figure that was just, you know, very different from what we see in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that. And I was like, wow, maybe I could do a little bit of that with de Blasio, and maybe I can take on these really cool New Yorker stories mm-hmm. working for the mayor's office. Mm-hmm. So that was exhilarating. I did that for 2 years.
Was the job what you imagined it would be?
Yes.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes. It was. Wow, it was
interesting.
Yeah, it was a lot of agency. Like it was a very creative office. We worked with a team that was like right outside of City Hall, and our boss was a former journalist as well. He used to shoot for the Wall Street Journal, and he would come in every day and push us to pitch story ideas.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't just taking photographs of de Blasio, but we were like, you know, we'd spend a day with the sanitation guy, and we'd do like a little profile piece on that. In a way, it was very cool. I feel like a lot of these government creative jobs have the opportunity to really change the wheels for cities.
Mm-hmm.
I just shared an article recently on Facebook where Detroit hired their first chief storyteller, and it's like an actual government position. And the idea is for that person to tell stories about that city as a sense of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
So they were creating a website called The Neighborhood Project, and it's a set of like little slices of life in the neighborhood. And I'm like, we need more of that, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess like, yeah, I mean, so I was in the city and the opportunity had come up to go work in New Jersey.
Okay.
And at first I was like, no, I'm not going to New Jersey. I love the Bronx. I don't want to move. And then, you know, when you start thinking of something and you start envisioning your life there. And as I was thinking about it, I took a drive down to Trenton to just see.
Now, why Trenton?
Yeah, I was just going
to
ask that.
I was looking at a job to work with the governor's office.
Oh, okay.
So the state house, the capital, was Trenton. That's where I would have to go to work every day. I mean, growing up in the Bronx, a place that's always plagued in the media with like a negative
mm-hmm.
representation. And I became a journalist to counteract the negative and kind of show the deeper story. You know, I'm a big advocate of you live where you work kind of thing.
I love that.
I love American history. I love pop culture. And I love topics of representation and family life. When I took a drive down to Trenton, it was really eye-opening to me because I thought, as a New Yorker, that Jersey was just suburban homes. I was like, I can't, you know, like I mean, and that's all good for whoever lives
in
suburbia.
There.
Yeah, there. But, you know, like, I'm a city kid, and I'm someone who passionately loved the Bronx. Like, mm-hmm. I passionately loved the grittiness, the craziness, the mm-hmm. diversity, the guy who will curse you out at the bus stop for looking at him the wrong way. Like,
that's pretty much all of New York.
I kind of, yeah. I mean, I kind of embraced that, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
But also at the same time, like, when I was in the Bronx, I worked a lot with this gallery called the Bronx Documentary Center, and I was there for 5 years. This place was like my informal grad school. Like, I went to college, undergrad, I was an American studies major, but the Bronx Documentary Center was like my informal grad school. It was a nonprofit that taught photojournalism and video to kids in the community as a form of counteracting social issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'd have exhibitions about immigration, exhibitions about black identity, exhibitions about police brutality, but photojournalistic exhibitions, mm-hmm. which brought up a really nuanced, neutral conversation. It wasn't about activism. It wasn't about people yelling in the room. Mm-hmm. It was about, like, here's factual stuff. Let's talk about it. Let's have panels. Mm-hmm. Let's have workshops. Let's have leader talks. And the director there, Michael Camber, he was a photojournalist for the New York Times for 25 years. He was a conflict photographer in the Middle East. He had a bunch of incredible stories to share with the students, and he connected a lot of the more famous photographers in the world to this really local place in the Bronx.
Okay.
To come and talk for, like, free, to volunteer their time for a portfolio review.
Huh.
And yeah, it was through volunteering there, actually, and hanging out in that space that I got, like, my first gig with the Times.
Mm-hmm.
When the editor literally walked in as I was volunteering gallery sitting, and I was looking at negatives contact sheets, because I shoot film, and they have a dark room there. So I was looking at my contact sheets, and the editor He's like, oh, what is that? I'm like, oh, you know, just some black and white photos I've been taking in the Bronx for like the past 4 years, you know? She's like, oh, let me take a look. So I hand her the stack of like contact sheets and she's looking at it. She's like, wow, I really like this. Like, you know, let's feature your work.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Wow. Well, actually,
she didn't say, let's feature your work. Let me tell you, she was like, let me look at your work. Wow, this looks really nice. Here's my card, email me. And then I emailed her, and then that was the whole.
And you were shooting film then?
Yeah, I was shooting film
just like now.
Yep. And, you know, my photos ran on the back page of the Metro section, and it was like a family album style. It was like a full page spread.
Oh, wow. Back.
And then from there, you know, I was shooting assignments for them, like, because I needed to earn money out of this stuff. I had quit my insurance job. Like, I'm all over the place at the time. Like.
So you took your drive to Trenton. What did you encounter when you got here? I know you weren't expecting what you expected. And to be honest with you, I'm laughing because when we moved to Trenton, I thought Trenton was by Newark.
Right.
Like, we're New Yorkers, and I'm sorry to sound, maybe this sounds a little arrogant, but it's totally like that cartoon that appears in the New Yorker magazine. It's like a poster.
Right.
Where you have New York, Hudson River, and the rest of the country.
Yeah.
I don't know who
did
it, but
it's
us in New York and everybody else.
New York
so,
and the Midwest.
Like, New Jersey to me was Trenton and Newark up here.
Right.
Once you cross over from Staten Island, now you're in Trenton and Newark, and then the Jersey Shore.
Right.
And there was the rest of it. I didn't even know where it was or what it was there. So I understand when you said, oh, I thought it was just suburbs. Yeah, I had no clue what...
I mean, I knew people spoke about it, Jersey City and Hoboken.
Yeah, there was this place.
But it still felt like, it's a city block for like 3 blocks and then the suburbs.
Right.
You're from Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, you're like, what? Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, okay, so I'm sorry.
New York, we're telling people they got the wrong water. I mean,
you're in Trenton, man.
Yeah, I took a drive down to Trenton to just take a look. The first place I stopped at was Trenton Social.
Okay.
I needed a burger. I wanted to get a beer. I met Chuck White. He was the bartender there at the time. And ever since then, I'm like, you're the first guy I met when I got to Trenton.
That's
you know?
So funny.
And he was just super helpful. I automatically turned into like my journalist self when I got here because I'm like, okay, I need to know about this city. Like,
right.
Asking questions and, you know, what's it like? And, you know, this and that. And I had done a little bit of research online. And all you find online is like, Homicide Watch, stories.
Exactly.
I just knew. I just got this gut feeling that time that first day I came to Trenton, I could see myself living here.
Mm-hmm.
That coupled with my decision to like actually work with the governor's office now, it was just like a win-win to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I think Roebling Lofts too. I was looking on Craigslist for apartments because that's what New Yorkers do. We're so used to like the shadiest stuff possible, you know? And Roebling Lofts had Craigslist advertisements. I'm like, this place can't be real, you know? Like, there's no way. Like, so...
What am I going to find when I get there? It's
going to
be...
You know, and I saw one bedroom loft for like $12.95, the starting price. For New York, that's affordable. You know what I mean?
Where would you even find that?
That's why I thought it was fake. I was like, these guys are like, you know, like...
I know.
They're totally going to, you know...
One bedroom? You're lucky you've been a studio for that, right?
Really? That's amazing.
Oh, it's horrible, man. I was living in the Bronx on 153rd Street and Melrose for 3 years. It was a two-bedroom apartment, and I was paying $1,750. But when I moved, that spiked up to the next resident.
Wow.
Yeah, they were
to like $2,000. Because it was an Art Deco building. It was like a 1940s, so they sell that piece of it.
Right.
But really, it's an old-ass building that hasn't been renovated that you're moving into.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cheap because I was a journalist, you know, freelancer. So I had a roommate, you know, so I would pay like $700 a month and my roommate. And I had friends who I went to college with who were living in Park Slope paying like $1,800 for like a bedroom, you know?
Right.
So it's just, the rent is too damn high, you know?
What did it shoot up to when you left, you know?
When I moved out, maybe the rents went up to $2,000. Okay. We're talking about $2,000 for a really crappy apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with roaches
right.
and in the worst neighborhood, like literally. I was a crime photographer
in that area
where
I live. You know,
I go on my front porch. I don't even have a front porch.
I can walk to work. So.
Yeah,
but I still even though it was like rough, I still loved it.
Yeah,
like
I know,
I knew everyone on the block. You know, everyone knew me, and it was I love that part of it too. So I love when a community shows a sense of solidarity amidst hardship.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of Chambersburg because even though it's a really interesting area, really complex, you have so many different people are coming in from Guatemala, Honduras, some of the most amazing Spanish restaurants are there. The community groups that gather to clean the streets, the churchgoers, this big sense of family values, the business owners, the way they look out for each other. I mean, people are working their butts off.
Yes.
You know, and buying straight up homes for $50,000 cash, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then people tend to talk about like immigration and the bad, but there's a lot of really good stuff there that brings to Trenton a sense of community.
Absolutely. Like, I know people like lament the Chambersburg of past when it was, I guess, an all Italian area.
Yeah.
But at that time, Italians were immigrants.
Right.
So, but the thing is, like, okay, so now the Italians have moved out, and now we're having more of a Latina, Hispanic grouping, and it's still vibrant. It's still okay, so it's not the same restaurants, it's different restaurants, and they're just as good. And in my opinion, I'd rather eat that kind of food because I can cook Italian food at home.
Yeah,
I want to go out and have arepas, which I'm not making at home, you know,
right?
Or other stuff that
right.
I don't
or
even
those
know.
Come on how foil.
There's a little
my favorite
spot.
Dish.
I don't know if you guys been to Casa de Luna.
It's
a Venezuelan spot, and they have like an outdoor sitting area.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Like around the summertime, like I'll pull up there, grab a couple of empanadas.
Oh my god. And the lady who runs it
very
is
nice.
Such a sweetheart.
Yep.
What a sweetheart. And she's in the kitchen cooking, and she's coming out to say hello to you.
Yep.
Like, what's better than that?
But speaking to, like, that Italian history to Chambersburg, I don't know if you've heard of Infinity Lounge, where it's, like, it used to be a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's a nightclub. It's a full-on nightclub.
Infinity Lounge?
Infinity Lounge.
In Trenton?
In Trenton. My friend Freddie, he's the DJ there.
Okay.
And his wife is the owner's daughter.
Okay.
And she bartends. So I've been there plenty of times.
It already sounds like a scene.
It's like, it's a huge scene. And the place is huge inside. It's like a scene out of a Scarface movie.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like,
no,
well, like,
where is it? Where is it? I'm trying to, like, picture it in my head.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I've actually seen it on
now
Facebook.
I'm very curious.
Yeah.
And been very
it's
curious
It's right by
about.
Columbus Park.
Infinity Lounge.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to check that out. Because we know Candlelight Lounge. Have you ever been to Candlelight Lounge?
Yes. Love that place.
Oh, here.
E.C. Bradley is the man.
Oh, my God.
And his wife, too.
She
holds the place down with her amazing food and
hosting
skills. And, you know, they're a great bunch. I mean, there's... That's why I love Trenton. Like, I got my spot to go on Tuesdays. I got my spot to go on Thursdays.
You got your A circle, your B circle.
If I want to
shout out to Will Fosky.
If I want to be the crazy Latino guy and go dance salsa merengue, I know, like, three spots I can
go. Wait,
you
only just came out just now?
Yeah, it does. It just leaks
That out. Whole Latino thing just came out.
No, you have to tell me when you go dancing, because that's something I want to do, too.
Infinity Lounge is at 100 Whitaker Avenue.
Yep.
They're open every day. From 9 to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Every day.
We need to
9 a.m. What's going on over there at 9 a.m.?
I think they just opened a restaurant.
No, it says 9 a.m. to 2 a.m.
I think they just opened.
What kind of, don't these people sleep?
No.
Hey, Freddie, find out some information for us, bro. Let us know. TrentWaves.com. That's insane.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But
that's more than 12 hours.
We just totally went off the top.
I'm just fascinated by these hours.
That is, yeah, there's so many things like that. And we like, you start talking to somebody, and you go, what is that place? I never heard of that. Oh my god, that's so cool.
To continue out going off the rails, I have a question about, you mentioned Pete Souza. This is Barack Obama's personal photographer, correct?
Yeah.
You said that he captured the Obamas in a way that was not like the typical traditional like pictures and stuff. How does a photographer kind of extract that feeling that you can make something like look different than a normal picture? How do you extract an emotion, or how do you extract a certain type of energy just from taking a picture, especially with film,
right.
Not even digitally? Right. Like, you're using film, you're using chemicals, you're using fixture, you're in a dark room hanging stuff up with clothespins. I mean, who does that anymore? What are you, Peter Parker? Who does that anymore? So that's my question. How do you do that? How do you get that energy that you can say, wow, Obama was shot in a very different way than I'm used to seeing? What is it, the lighting? What is it, black and white?
Well, actually, so Obama's photographer, he did something very different than past president photographers, I think, did. And I guess, like, he showed the human side of the president a lot more.
But how do you do that with picture, with, is it a certain technique?
Well, digitally, I mean, he was shooting digitally for work, I shoot digitally for work. To be a really good photographer, you need to stand out, you need to make people feel with your images. You need to capture emotion and sense. You need to show someone as powerful as the president, you need to show their vulnerabilities, you need to show the honest human element behind him, him being a father, him,
right,
you know, doing things you don't expect him to do, and being surprised by it. And so that's what, to me, was like when I'd see POTUS tweet a photo of him playing football or something, or just doing something that's just completely different. I'm like, wow, like, yeah, that's exciting, is like showing the behind the scenes of this, like, very important person, you know, and having that trust to be able to do that.
Does the composition of the image have anything to do with it, with showing that?
Everything matters. I mean, like, the composition matters, the time of day, the color. It adds to the mood and the feeling of the image.
Of what you're trying to project.
Correct, yeah. And so I think of him when I'm doing my job now with the governor. Obviously, I work with him because I actually, like, believe in who he is as a person. Not that I don't see, like, the ups and downs to, like, how government can be better and stuff. But, okay, like, when I'm doing my job, I try to approach it as much of a neutral perspective, just trying to show this person for who he actually is, and trying to just capture, like, he does this thing with Little League coaching. Sometimes I'll, like, stop by. I have a copy of the schedule. Obama's photographer always had a pocketbook with, like, the president's schedule, you know, and I'll try to, like, show up at these events where it's like, oh, this is the gov just going out to lunch somewhere with, like, a small mom and pop shop who totally is not expecting it. I want to just show up and take a photo of that, because a single tweet like that can really make it big for, like, that small business.
Right.
Just off that random one stop, you know? But it also kind of just shows that the governor really enjoys his turkey wrap, you know? These kind of, like, little things.
And that's your job. You have full access to that.
Yeah. On the day-to-day, I like, go to a lot of the events the governor goes to.
Wait, before you get into that, we have to break for one quick second.
If you're a digital video editor, you need Edius. Edius is all about giving editors the creative freedom to create any application environment. Download a 30-day trial today at Edius.net.
And we're back.
It's a really humbling privilege to kind of, like, be able to be there up close and, you know, be trusted to tell that story, which is nice, because a lot of people think working in government that you have a lot of people over you saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you need to, you know, all, like, strict and stuff. But they hired me because I feel like they believe in what I do. They're fans of the fact that I have a lot of followers on Instagram. They're fans of my personal black and white work. It's an actual progressive administration, which is really cool. And I love doing it. I mean, every day is always something different and exciting. I've been to Germany and Israel with him. He's traveled to Germany and Israel on what we call these economic mission trips. Obviously, the governor's big thing is working on a more fair budget for the state. Right now is the big millionaire's tax. Trying to create a tax for, like, people earning over $1 million to, like, stabilize the middle class. His big thing is innovation economy stuff, so, like, really supporting startup tech businesses, because we genuinely believe that's going to be, like, the future for New Jersey, is more tech startups and more innovation economy stuff. He went to Germany and Israel to essentially go over there and meet with business leaders and say, hey, New Jersey's open for business. We're between New York and Philly, two of the major cities, a central spot on the East Coast. We actually have homes that you can have for a reasonable price, great education system. And he used to be a business person, a salesman. Like, he used to work at Goldman Sachs.
Okay.
So he's really good, and he used to be a theater nerd. Which a lot of people don't know about.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's like a goofy dude, you know? He's a goofy dude, too. And so, like, he has great charismatic energy in terms of just, like, kind of doing funky stuff. Like, he has the stance that he just pops off sometimes, and I'll try to capture that in an image where he, like, fully squats and, like, leans his arms and... I try to capture that side of him, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't wear shoes. He wears Allbirds, which is sneakers.
Okay.
Are these.
Oh, okay.
So.
I noticed them when we were standing out in front.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
He doesn't wear shoes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he owns dress shoes,
right.
You know? But, like, most of the time he's wearing sneakers.
I mean, you expect a governor to wear, you know.
But why?
Because he's a governor.
I understand if you're meeting, you know, an official da-da-da. But in your everyday work, walking around and being busy, I'd want to be comfortable.
I would say, yeah, I would still picture the governor to wear shoes.
He's not barefoot.
No, I don't mean that he's walking around like some hippie
like
or something. You know,
something.
No, I'm just saying, I would expect the governor to be wearing shoes, like black or brown leather shoes.
He's not.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, it's funny because when I was in New York, I was talking to Ed Reed, who was the mayor's office photographer for like 30 years. And when news broke that Murphy was going to be governor,
right?
He was like, Edwin, I really like this guy. He wears sneakers, you know? So like for a guy who's been working government as a photographer for 25 years
right,
to suddenly
right.
see this mm-hmm. and say, this guy is cool. He seems down to earth.
Right.
Exactly. You know, he wears sneakers because he's about to start walking a lot. And
right,
that's a good,
right.
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. Right.
That is cool.
So,
I just find that really fascinating how you as a photographer, I know for me, like if I'm going to do a caricature of somebody, you know, you want to pick out the distinctive features, like maybe like they have a big nose or like a huge forehead or whatever, and you kind of accentuate that in the cartoon respectively. However, again, with a photographer, with a photograph, I would just think, for me, who's not a photographer, I would find that to be almost impossible.
Well, I think it's an art, and it's like, just
that's
like you're an artist, and an artist has a talent.
Yeah.
I think photographers have an eye for it. You know, it's a talent.
Yeah, I just find that fascinating.
Well, one of my mentors at the New York Times used to call it visual literacy. And what that means is a way of seeing shapes fall into place and making those images happen in a way where you don't even think about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
what makes a well-composed image? It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like you. Like, Christina has a camera. She's very good. She takes really good pictures. And, you know, I look at these pictures and I'm like, wow, I would never think to do such an extreme close-up on something like a leaf.
Yeah.
And then it takes on a whole new, it's like a whole new world
yeah.
when you look at the thing. And really, it's just a leaf. I mean, you really appreciate, it makes great backgrounds and great, and, you know, when you first look at it, it's like, you don't even realize what it is at first with some of the pictures that she takes. I think you're
a
very natural talent.
I don't know anything. I have a camera. I'm still don't even know half the things do, but I like just walking around taking pictures. that's as far as I get.
Yeah, and that's okay too. I mean, my personal work as a documentary photographer when I moved to Trenton was to kind of get to know the city. The camera is a passport, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's
mm-hmm.
it's also a chance for you to like meet people.
Right.
I love working with old film cameras. I shoot 35mm film, medium format film. I develop in my bathroom at home. Hopefully when I actually have a home,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn the basement into a dark room to make like
I was just gonna ask you that.
Fiber prints.
You have it all scoped out. Where you're gonna put that?
I like working with these older cameras because
mm-hmm.
you really have to choose your image,
mm-hmm.
and you can't just snap away like you do with an iPhone.
Right.
And you know, outside of like that actual technique element, I find Trenton very interesting,
mm-hmm.
and I want to spend more time getting to know the people, telling their stories, sharing their stories,
mm-hmm.
right? But also like the power of them telling their story and trusting in me to like share that with me, because sometimes I just walk up to people on the street
mm-hmm.
and approach them, you know. I get a lot of no's, I get a lot of yes,
mm-hmm.
so it's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll record a short interview with them, and I'll spend time with them. And I think it's important, especially when you're a newcomer to a city, to take time to actually get to know the city.
Right.
You know, I'm a state employee trying to convince other state employees to live here,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
which I think is important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of great things happening here.
Absolutely.
It has a lot to offer, so.
Talking about taking pictures around town, now I know Trent Town.
Trent Town, yeah.
Tell me about what that is.
So Trent Town is a one-year look on my work in Trenton. It's a documentary project that seeks to tell the story of Trenton and its residents.
Okay.
It's kind of about the good and the bad happening in Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
So it sheds light on like some really hopeful local perspectives, but also sheds light on like the reality behind gun violence, you know, issues of immigration, poverty, and showing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's important to like stare at those issues dead on and say, we need to do something about this. I'm having an exhibition opening June 7th at Roebling Gallery. I worked with Habib, who's also known as Beloved One.
That's what Habib means?
Yeah, actually, his name actually means Beloved One. Yeah, it's an actual translation, but that's his artist name, is Beloved One. And he's a local photographer. And one of the first things I did when I started shooting was connect with a local photographer, because in journalism, we have this idea, this thing we call parachute journalists. People who aren't from a neighborhood fly in to tell a story about a neighborhood and then leave.
Right.
And that's an issue because they don't really fully understand it. Right. So I'm also conscious of myself being like a newcomer here. And one of the first things I did was reach out to a local photographer and go out shooting with him and have him help me see Trenton, help me edit my photographs of Trenton, but also just connect with him because he was a really cool guy. He's a black father, he is an artist, and he's also working a 9-to-5 job. He grew up in the Wilbur section of Trenton, so I could tell through his pictures that he's out there too, taking photographs of people who are either the most empowered or the most vulnerable. Like, we're talking about everyday people in the streets. And so I knew I wanted to connect with him because he is what I was almost like when I was in the Bronx shooting every day, you know? So
he's born and bred Trenton.
Right.
Okay.
That's one of the things I also want to do in the future eventually. After this exhibition, I'm creating an Instagram platform called Document Trenton. It's a visual, just archive of images that we can share, trying to get everyday people like you shooting your flower photos, but a lot of like local photographers in Trenton. I really want to rally that group of local photographers, get them in a room, talk about photography, critique our work, grow. Because one thing I know about photography is that it needs a lot of development. There's ways to get better through workshops and actually like working hard. What's a good photo story, a good photo essay? How do you pitch that to an editor at a newspaper?
Yeah, you would love that.
I would love that.
Bringing people together around a common interest of photography, and I know there's the Trenton Photo Club, but I want this to be a specific focus on documentary, you know, doing work about Trenton in general, not just photography in general, but also like a skill development piece of it. So I'm still in the works hashing that out, what that looks like. But I mean, in the Bronx, we used to get together every Friday, you know, from 7 to 9 p.m., get a case of beers, pull down a projector and critique our work.
Oh, that sounds cool. That's nothing wrong with that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So
you got to hook up with that. But.
Definitely. Definitely.
So yeah, there's a lot of like, there's such a great group of people here. You can really, like, your options are limitless. I think in one of the last episodes, you mentioned how Trenton is like a great little microcosm for you to start and experiment ideas and launch them and see where it goes, because it's just the right size here.
Wow, you really do listen. I barely remember that. Wow.
I have so many ideas. I really do. And I have to write them down and then take them somewhere. So I know how you feel, like you have this thing percolating and you want to just start to... Sometimes I feel like just do it and make a mess.
Yeah.
You know what? So you make a mess.
You're right about that.
Because sometimes you're trying to get it perfect.
Too much of a perfectionist, and you never get it done. No.
Yes, yes.
So you're in Trenton now how long now?
2 years.
2 years?
Wow. Yeah. I felt longer. And I have to ask you, you said that it just gripped you when you came to Trenton.
Yeah.
Can you put your finger on what it was?
The urban landscape of, like, you know, the old warehouses, the small little townhomes reminded me of Baltimore. So I was in Baltimore covering the riots when I was working as a journalist.
Wow.
And so, like, I was out there for, like, a week staying on a friend's couch and stuff. It reminded me of Baltimore a little bit, but with the warehouses and then the state buildings and the whole little downtown area. And I loved the visual urban landscape of just, like, this place. And, you know, there's a lot of abandoned warehouses that it's kind of beautiful in a way, too, because it's very telling of the city's history.
I agree with you. It just grips you. I think for me, it was like, maybe it was the architecture. I loved the houses.
Yeah.
I love the housing stock that we have in Trenton and the history.
Yeah.
The history that's here. Like, the turning point of our nation happened here.
Right.
Yeah.
On just like a cold night, Christmas Eve. It's just, ooh, gives you the chills,
you
right?
See Washington across Delaware saying, oh man, what am I doing?
Is this gonna work? Is this gonna work?
If this doesn't work, we're dead.
We're dead. Yeah.
This has gotta work.
Yeah. So I think I think Trenton, like, is like a magnet for that kind of a spirit, for those kind of people that, like,
you know, we'll sell out and just come here and, like, I don't care what the naysayers say.
That's it.
And you don't see what I see, and it's okay.
Yeah. And ever since episode 2, and Anne Labatt hit the nail on the head, and if you're listening, it's for you. She said, Trenton may not be for everybody, but it's always been good for revolutionaries.
I love that line.
That's the truth, man. That is the truth.
Revolutionaries.
So I know you've been living in Roebling Lofts and loving it.
Yeah.
And you've been curating the gallery there, which you could see.
The artwork is available Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 to 2
and you by appointment. Show it on First Fridays also?
Yes, we have a First Friday opening. We're part of that group. We do offer wine and beer.
Ooh.
Oh, we're there.
Tell the whole neighborhood.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. We've been there.
And there's a lot of talented, amazing people in Roebling Lofts. And part of what I want to do is I also want to introduce them. I want to bring them to Trent. I want them to see outside of the building too.
Okay.
Like, engage with that. So it's a great way to tell them, hey, there's First Friday openings happening all over.
Right. Now, even though you love Roebling Lofts, I know you're looking to put some more roots down.
Yeah.
I'm looking to actually purchase your first home.
Yes, my first home.
Here in Trenton.
Wow.
Trenton,
you're looking in the Mill Hill area, right?
In the Mill Hill area because it's close to NJ Transit. You know, I have family still in the Bronx, so accessibility to the city is key. The walk to work is very easy for me.
Isn't that
it's an eight-minute walk to work.
It's great.
An eight-minute walk. Wow.
Yeah, and the homes there. You can't beat the prices in Trenton that you would look at anywhere else and stuff. But, I mean, outside of that, I'm excited to be a part of this community and find ways to amplify the beauty that's already here in a way, you know?
Have you been to the Mill Hills house tour? Have you gone on that?
Yes. And that's part of one of the guilty culprits that got me to do it. It's like I saw some of these homes and I'm like, what?
I want one. Yeah, I know. And the garden tour is coming up too. Have you done the garden tour?
No, I haven't.
That's coming up in June.
And so is Taste Trenton.
Yeah, it's June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Same weekend.
Yeah.
But the gardens, urban gardens, I think is so... Because you have to be really creative to have a little tiny urban garden and make it someplace where you want to hang out or maybe even grow vegetables. So
I mean, this house thing, you know, honestly, I never even wanted a house.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend was crazy about a house and Marilyn, if you're listening, she was into like the whole home buying process. And I was like, we got to do Mill Hill. And so finally we saw the right house. And that's where we're looking to like just start a family and, be around for a little bit. And we're both very community art oriented. She's from Honduras, but raised in Jersey, North Jersey, actually. And she also sees the potential here, too. So it's cool to have, like, a partner who's, like,
How is it that she's not sitting with us tonight, too?
how'd you
wrangle that? We're going to have to do with a Marilyn episode.
Yes.
And get the real story.
Yeah.
All right, so I have one more question, and it's the question I ask all our...
Let's see if he knows what the question is, because he's a listener. He's heard every episode.
You have to put him on the spot?
Yeah. What's the question?
I'm probably wrong at this point.
Go ahead.
Is it, what got you to Trenton?
Oh, goodness, dude.
Okay, so it was a long talk today.
It was. He already drank all his water. Look.
That dry, sweating here.
The question is, envision your dream Trenton.
My dream Trenton is to just be a part of what's happening here that's about telling the world, listen to Trenton. One of the things about me being from the Bronx is like we have a lot of Bronx pride and selling that. This is what we're about. Being strong and smart about gentrification. You know, I lived through a lot of the gentrification, so it informed me. In a sense, that's kind of motivated me to bring what I've learned over there and have open eyes over here. So it's kind of like this idea of like selling Trenton, showing that Trenton, we're dope. Let's empower ourselves. Let's inspire others to be here. Let's just showcase everything we're doing and just be more proud. But at the same time, if change does come, being conscious of the people that are already here and looking out for them. But overall, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the future of Trenton for me is just being a part of an exciting movement to amplify the beauty that's already here and just raising each other up because, like, I'm going to be a homeowner here. Right. So, you know, I have skin in the game now. Right. And, like, I'm genuinely interested in improving Trenton and
right.
being a part of the movement here. So
that is great. I'm very happy we finally got to get together and that you listened to a couple of...
He's a binge listener. We're like
yeah,
his Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix of podcasts.
I did listen to like 3 episodes at one time. And I was like, damn it, I'm getting through it too fast.
I'm
sure there's people out there. Dude, there's definitely people out there who listen to you.
Who binge listen. Like,
binge listen. Yeah.
Well.
It's the intro, man. I love the intro.
You love the intro. That's what hooks you.
It's like, well, that and your like amazing voice too, you know, like the
You have a good radio voice.
Yeah.
I have an amazing voice, really?
Yeah, I think you do.
Well, thank you very much, Edwin. I really appreciate that. I can't hold that but look. Boy, okay. Well, I'm sorry, ladies, he's taken. Sorry. Okay, well, you'll see a picture of him on the guest page. But until next week, we are going to sign off. We hope you enjoy that. Edwin, thank you for coming
on,
buddy.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing Trenton, man.
Yeah.
Yes,
at the Roebling Gallery.
When is that happening?
And that's June 7th from 6 to 9 p.m.
Oh, okay. That's a busy day in Trenton.
That is a busy day.
And we're going to have a second opening the first Friday of July as well.
Okay, so June 7th, 6 to 9.
Yep.
And in July?
5th, I think.
5th?
Okay. It's the Friday.
Okay, it's the 5th, yeah.
That Friday, yeah.
All right, and it's all at the Roebling Gallery.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
6 to 9 p.m., come through.
Yes, and is there going to be wine and beer, you said?
There's going to be booze. Party it up with us.
There's going to be booze, so buckle up.
It's going to be a nice little party.
It's going to be great.
And then go check out a lot of the other places in Trenton as well.
That's right.
That are hosting First Friday parties.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the garden tour that day and the Taste Trenton.
Yeah,
weekend.
It's a busy weekend.
That is a busy weekend in Trenton, but make sure to stop by the Roebling Galleries. We will be there.
Okay, so Edwin, where can people find you? Where can people see more things about you? Where can people find out about all things Edwin Torres?
On Instagram, I'm known as Edwin Torres Photo, and on Facebook, just Edwin Torres. And my website is www.edwintorres.com. P as in photography, F as in film.com. So Edwin Torres, PF.com. And Trenton, that work, you can see it at Roebling Gallery.
Okay.
And soon we will put that work up on Instagram under Document Trenton. And I'll be encouraging everyone to post photos on social media and hashtag Document Trenton, and we'll share and feature those images.
Oh, that's
cool.
There you go.
Looking forward to that then.
Very, very cool. I like how he says www. Do people still say that?
Yeah.
What do they do?
World Wide Web.
Worldwide
Information Superhighway.
Oh, man.
All right, well, that was it. That was Edwin Torres. What did you think of that, Chris?
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. You hear that? I think you're right. I see Edwin. All right. We will catch you guys next week, podcast here, on Trent Waves. And this is... Oh, he likes you.
Sesso out.
Leave it. Just leave it.
I've been dying to do that. Oh, man.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
If you're a digital video editor, you need Edius. Edius is all about giving editors the creative freedom to create any application environment. Download a 30-day trial today at Edius.net.
Taste Trenton, 2019. Here's how it works. You purchase your wristband at TasteTrenton.com. You invite your friends to get their own wristband and join you. Pick up your wristband and your passport guide on the day of the event at Artworks. You choose the restaurant you want to visit, show your wristband, and enjoy the specialties at reduced prices. Continue on your excursion all weekend long, all 3 days. Update your photos and paste your comments on the Taste Trenton Facebook page, and then you return home satisfied that you know new places that you can go for lunch and dinner all year. Taste Trenton, Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th, this year, 2019.